Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for gathering us in this manner once again as a family of God to worship you and to hear your word and to be ministered by you. Father, we commit today's word into your hands, and Father, we ask for the leading of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Speak to us clearly, Father God. Help us to imitate what Jesus did, Lord. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters, a very good evening to you. If you were here at 7 a.m., so today I'm going to give you an extended version of the sermon today because 7 a.m. is a bit tight for time, so you get an extended version. A couple of weeks ago, I was watching this trailer of a mini-serial, or is it a mega-serial? I'm not sure. It's a serial. I just happened to watch. I don't watch serials. So I saw this trailer, and there was this woman who was dying. She was dying, and before she died, she held on to her son's hand, an adult son, held on to his hand, and then she said, "Whatever you do, never forgive that family." And I saw that, I was just, wow, what a blessing or what a message this woman, even in a dying moment, is passing on to her son. And I was thinking, there must have been great animosity between this woman's family and what other family she has this issue with. There must have been a lot of hatred, a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness in the heart for someone to say that. Even though it was a drama, a miniserial, but sometimes you know, right? Art imitates life. Right? So it is what would have happened in a lot of our lives or in other people's lives. Sometimes, today in our sermon, we are going to talk about when we hate. That's the title given to me, when we hate. We are focusing on the 6th and the 9th commandments that Christ gave, right? Thou shalt not murder, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. But sometimes, this happens, right? Murder and bearing false witness happens because of many reasons, and one of them can be the hatred that you have. And that hatred could have formed in our lives because of many circumstances, many things happening around us. And all this could have affected us for us to harbor such emotions, such feelings, such bitterness in our hearts. And nowadays you can say, "Pastor, I didn't murder. I was hatred, but I didn't murder." But then there is character assassination. We murder someone's character. Right? We destroy them. We cut them down. We put them down because of the words that we use, right? That is character assassination. And then we slander one another because I don't like this person. We slander, we put them down because they have done something to us. So I must do likewise. So such things do happen. So what do we do? Sometimes we do not want to keep this hatred in our hearts. We want to let it go, but it's so difficult. And we don't know how to respond. How do we let go of this? And I think it's good that we look to Christ for an answer. Of course, Jesus didn't harbor hatred, but how did he handle those who mocked him, humiliated him, abused him, offended him? How did Jesus respond to these people? And that is what Scripture is teaching us today. And that's why I want to focus only on verse 34. And these are the words, first words of Jesus from the cross, and they are the words of a prayer. And this one prayer reveals to us how Jesus dealt with offense and forgiveness. And as his followers, you and I, we are to imitate Jesus Christ. We imitate him in all things, not just in what he did, the miraculous work that he did, the blessings, but we even imitate Christ in this, and that is forgiveness. And why does Jesus forgive? And how does he even forgive? Firstly, I think he forgives because of his amazing love, the love that he has for this earth, the people of this earth. See, Jesus' prayer on the cross was not a prayer for comfort, not a prayer for strength, not a prayer for peace or for this burden to be lifted up. That was not what Jesus Christ prayed when he was on the cross. His very first prayer on the cross was for his enemies, the very people who were persecuting him, who were torturing him. Consider this. You see, Jesus here is not concerned about himself, but for the soldiers below him who had just nailed him to the cross, who had just whipped him, who had just beaten him up, who had mocked him and made fun of him, who had just humiliated him. And these were the very people who were dividing up his clothes. And these were the people he was praying for. He could have prayed for God to punish, to rain down, I don't know, maybe even thunder and lightning, he could have called down to destroy all these guys, and it would have happened. But Jesus didn't do that. He could have prayed, you know, because of vengeance. But instead, what we find here is compassion. Jesus is compassionate even in that situation. You know how quickly we become resentful, angry, bitter at only maybe even just one word said against us, or even a small action done against us. We harbor hatred because of that. We keep bitterness, we keep grudges in our hearts just because of one or two incidences or words. Even though they may have been painful, they've been very hurtful. And what happens is we secretly plot vengeance. And we want to seek the downfall of the people who did this to us, whom we would now consider our enemies. Right? But for Jesus, who was not only insulted and cursed, but physically beaten, the result was not vengeance. The result was love. Jesus' amazing love for the very people who hated him. And if Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we imitate Christ. And that same love and compassion can flow through us to those whom we consider our enemies. Right? So we have to imitate Jesus and have compassion even with our worst enemies. But that is only possible, not with our own strength, but with the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Only then is it possible. And this has happened before. If you could just look at Acts chapter 7, verse 60. Scripture tells us, right, when Stephen, the first martyr, was stoned. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the amazing love that Jesus revealed on the cross. And he gives to us the same amazing love for our enemies. He gives that same love for Stephen. And he has also given us that same love for our enemies. Secondly, Jesus, you see, he understands the blindness of these people. Right? Jesus said, they know not what they do. See, they took Jesus for a fool. They would have thought that he was an ordinary man who had a big ego. They would have thought that he was trying to establish his own kingdom, or he was rebellious against the Roman authorities. That's what they thought. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 8, it says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 8, it says, "None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they really knew who they were killing, they would not dare to have done this to Jesus." And even when we look to Paul, the Apostle Paul, he thought he was doing God a service. Before he became Paul, he was Saul. He thought he was doing God a service by persecuting these Christians. He was very religious, and he appeared to be trying to do God a service, but not against God. He thought he was, Saul was taught by one of the best teachers, Gamaliel, at that time. And Saul didn't persecute the church because he hated the church, because he thought he was doing God's will. He was serving God. But he was totally blind to the truth. The reality is this, our flesh, the world, the devil, he blinds us to the actual reality around us. We have been deceived into following a lie. And that is what gossip is about, isn't it? Slander, character assassination, right? Words are spoken about someone that are stretched and are very damaging. And they are based on assumption and hearsay, not on facts. And then we pass it on, right? Rumor, somehow I feel this. Rumors spread faster than the gospel, I feel sometimes. Right? When it should be the other way around, right? We spread the gospel faster than rumors. But sadly, that is how it is. Rumors spread faster than the gospel because rumors are more delicious. More interesting, right? The gospel is so boring. Rumors are more delicious, more interesting for us. It spreads. We spread rumors without facts, without knowing the facts, without understanding the truth. Nowadays, we have this issue with fake news, right? It's very prevalent in our society these days. People believe what is said and an opinion is formed and then that false opinion is spread about someone which is totally false. And that's why Jesus said, Father, they know not what they do. So in forgiveness, we look from this point. They don't know, they don't understand what has happened. If they did know, they did understand, they never would have done or said what they have done. We need to follow Jesus' lead in this way. My friends, have you been hurt by words? Have you been on the receiving end of rumors and gossips? Are you hurting today because of what someone said? What someone did to you? Because someone stabbed you in the back. Someone played you out. Someone deceived you. Someone abused you, made use of you. What do you do? How do you respond as a believer of Christ? How do you respond to this situation? And one thing we can learn from Jesus is to pray. See, these are Jesus' first words on the cross. See, instead of condemnation, instead of condemning those who were persecuting and torturing him, we find that these are the ones that Jesus singles out for prayer. And this is what Jesus thought. He executed what he thought. Matthew chapter 5 verse 44 and Luke chapter 6 verse 27, we read, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Luke chapter 6, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." And that is what Jesus has instructed us to do, and that is what he did. And we as imitators and followers of Christ are to do that. And that is to pray for those who have done such things to us. You see, this whole thing is a spiritual issue. Jesus knew these people, and he knew that they did not know what they were doing. People who have been who do evil have been deceived into believing and acting on a lie. This is called spiritual blindness. So the question is, how do you make the blind see? We know they are blind. We've been blinded by the enemy. They've been deceived by the enemy. But how do you make them see? See, for many of us, or many not here, many from other churches, I don't know. For many of us, it is simply by taking vengeance, taking revenge, getting back at those who have done this to us, showing my displeasure through actions and words. You know, but this will not bring sight to the blind. This will only make things worse. Others say, you know, whoever has offended us, they need to be educated. Therefore, we need to teach them a lesson. I need to tell them what they did to me. They need to know. I need to state out the facts. And therefore, I need to teach them a lesson. Have we heard of those phrases or have we used them ourselves, right? I'm going to teach this guy a lesson. I'm going to teach this person a lesson. You did this to me, I'm going to get back to you, man. You're never going to forget my response. And sometimes we take pride in that, right? Because we are good at plotting vengeance, because we've been influenced by so many things. Sometimes you want to state the bare facts so that they will know. But do you know some people, no matter how much truth you tell them, they will still want to believe in a lie. They will not want to, they're not interested in believing your truth. And that is why I think Jesus didn't talk to the soldiers who were there at the foot of the cross. He didn't try to reason with them, but he prayed for them instead. And this is the way to break blindness, to break the bondage of the enemy. We pray for their eyes to be opened that they may see. Whoever has harmed you, who has offended you, who has hurt you, and that is causing you all this hatred and bitterness. My friends, can you say this, that they did this not knowing what they do? Will you pray for them? Or will you plot vengeance? Prayer is key. Let's imitate our Savior and pray for our offenders. And another thing that Jesus extended through this was unconditional forgiveness. Right? We might wonder now how Jesus could forgive this man when they never asked for forgiveness. They didn't ask and say, "Lord, forgive me, I repent." And we'll think, wow, did these guys get a free ride? Without asking for forgiveness, they're forgiven. See, no one is saved without repentance and faith, and because that, if that is true, then that is contrary to Scripture. See, these men are guilty of a horrible crime against Jesus and are held accountable for it before God, definitely. But there are two things we can take from this. First thing is, this is now the end of their life, the soldiers' life. They're not died yet. See, Jesus' death on the cross paid for those who repented and also for those who have not and will not even repent. Jesus reconciled the entire world to God through the cross. And Jesus is saying that the doors are open for these men as well as, despite of their sins, it's open to them. And if you notice in the weeks after the crucifixion, right, it is possible that these men, these very soldiers, could have come to know Christ, or maybe even as their Lord and Savior. Because when you look at Matthew chapter 27, verse 54, Matthew 27, 54, it says, they say, now this must, when the centurion and those who were with him keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." They knew that this Jesus whom they had crucified was not someone ordinary. Their hearts were turned. Secondly, Jesus personally does not hold any of this against them. He doesn't hold a grudge. He's not bitter. He's not angry. He's not full of hatred. He's not vengeful. Right? He's not thinking about revenge. We naturally want our enemy to recognize what they have done to us, their sins against us. And maybe even return to us and confess. You want them to confess. I want you to own up to what you have done. Only then will I forgive you. Because you've not realized that what you've done against me. But Jesus thought otherwise. We want them to know how much hurt they have caused us. And we want them to at least make up for it by repenting and saying sorry. That's what we sometimes want. So that we can let the matter rest. But this, my friends, is called forgiveness with strings attached. But maybe not just strings, forgiveness with chains attached, you know, because that's how heavy it can be. Because we have chained ourselves to the offender. We have bound ourselves to him or her. So what he or she does or doesn't do will impact our lives, whether for good or for bad. See, Jesus didn't allow these chains to be made between himself and this man. And that's why he says in Mark chapter 11, verse 25, he says, "And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespass." He says, "And whenever you stand praying, forgive." He didn't say forgive with conditions. He said simply forgive. That is the instruction that Jesus has given us. No conditions here. Don't wait for them to ask you for forgiveness before you forgive them. Sometimes it is our pride that chains us to these things, to others. We want others to pay, to change, to make up for it. It may or may not happen, you know. Right? But by unconditionally forgiving them, we set ourselves free. Turn to Jesus. He did this first, unconditional forgiveness he gave. It's a big challenge, it's a huge challenge to be filled with love for our enemies. But Jesus had love for his enemies. He understood that they've been fed with a lie, and he prayed for them. And let them go by giving them, and let them go, but without expecting anything in return. Because he knew some might not repent in the end. My friends, forgiveness is a journey. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a painful journey sometimes. I myself am on a journey of forgiveness. Still struggling, there are still challenges. But the Lord is with me, he strengthens me. See, many years ago, there was a tough period that I was going through. Life was very challenging. And especially in the year 2013, 2014, that was even tough. I was on the receiving end of rumors. I was vindicated later. Thank God for that. But during that period, when the rumors were spread about me, I did not defend myself. I didn't want to defend myself because I didn't want to spend my time and energy on this. I knew the Lord will take care. Because I thought there was no point defending rumors, and as I said, I didn't want to fight. I didn't have the energy nor the resources. So I left it knowing that the truth will one day come to light. But what happened was, even though I didn't get caught up in the fight, I wasn't thinking about vengeance. I wasn't thinking about revenge or paying back that particular person for what he did to me. But subconsciously, I was harboring a grudge and getting bitter over this. And I was treated unfairly by some, and especially, as I said, just this one particular person treated me very unfairly. And I, without me realizing, I allowed hatred to fester in my heart. And over time, I began to realize that it was growing. That hatred was growing and getting stronger. I kept cool all the while. I thought I kept cool all the while. I thought chill, yeah. But in the year 2014, I remember clearly, I sort of retaliated. It wasn't a big retaliation. I mean, from where I stand, it was a small retaliation. I just ignored the person for over something. Something happened, and I just ignored the person. And I tell you, this was the time when I was being prepared for full-time ministry. I was preparing myself for full-time ministry. This happened. So I just ignored the person over something, and it was an action of displeasure. I wanted to show that person that I was not happy with you. I was displeased. So I showed it in my action. I was being smart. But it became a big issue, and I thought it was unfair that it became a big issue. And this thing was only brought to my attention a year later, year 2015. I was very heartbroken, and I thought it was unfair that this would happen to me. But I made up my mind at that time to forgive that person. After talking to some people and receiving counsel, I decided, I'm going to forgive that person. It was very difficult. It took me some time. It's very painful. As I said, I thought it was unfair. But I saw the strength of the Lord, and I said, Lord, I laid this person at God's feet and said, Lord, I'm laying this person out here. I told the Lord, say, Lord, I do not have the strength to forgive this person. And Lord, therefore, I look to you. I need your strength to forgive this person. And I trusted in God. And over time, within less than a week, the Lord gave me the strength to forgive this person. And what I did was this. I remember clearly, it was a Tuesday morning. I wrote an email to this person to ask for forgiveness for what I did. And I did not mention what he did to me or how he treated me. But I just say, I'm sorry for the way I showed my displeasure to you over this incident. I did not expect that person to accept my apology. I did not expect. Or even for the person to apologize to me, or even write back to me, because I wanted there to be no strings attached. Then I'm going to let go. Even if you don't respond, you don't write back to me, it is fine. You don't say sorry, it is fine. But here is my apology. And I was very sincere at that time. And interestingly, the next day I met him at a church event. The next day, Wednesday morning after a meeting. So I decided, say, I will go and talk to this person. I will personally go and tell him. I said, so I told him, I said, did you receive the email that I sent to you yesterday? He said, yes, I saw the email. And then I shook hands with him and I told him again, I'm very sorry for the way I behaved at that time. I am human after all. And even though I said, I never expect anything, but deep down in my heart, I thought, maybe he'll say, yes, I'm also sorry for what I did. I'm human, right? Even though outside I said, never mind, it's okay if he doesn't apologize. But deep down, I thought, it'll be nice if he could say sorry for what he did. Because he initiated all this. He started all this, sorry. And when I went to apologize, but he did not, and he just casually said, and this is what he said when I apologized, he said, okay, I release you. And then he walked away. And I stood there stunned. I was just standing there, didn't know what to do. I said, didn't understand, what do you mean by you release me? And I was just stunned. Just hoping that he would forgive, but he did not. He apologized, but he did not. He didn't even say, I forgive you. Okay, I release you. Okay. He walked away. But I thought to myself, after some time, I was very hurt by what he did. Because I was hoping that he would reciprocate, right? But he did not. Maybe he was not ready, but I knew that I sincerely did my part. But the result was a huge weight lifted off my shoulders. And that is what I saw, peace of mind. I felt really relieved, and I told myself that every time the enemy reminds me of this incident, and he will, every time he reminds me of this incident again and again, I said, Lord, I will pray and I will bless this brother. That's what I did. 2 years ago, I went one step further. I invited him to my house for dinner. I invited him and his family, his wife and his children, to my house for dinner. And we had a good dinner. We didn't bring up this incident. And even then, so he did not apologize or he did not say anything about what happened. But said, Lord, I knew deep down in my heart that I did my best. See, I invited my enemy to my house for a dinner. But both me and my wife felt relief, a huge relief in our life, peace of mind, a huge boulder lifted off our shoulders. To be honest, forgiving is hard. Sometimes even painful, it's unfair, it seems unfair. You may have been an innocent party, and that's why you feel unfair. And maybe you're right in feeling that way, but forgiving is hard. You see, a lot of times when we see Jesus, the picture of Jesus hanging on the cross, do we have someone? Like, you don't have fun here. When we see a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross, or even a sculpture of Jesus hanging on the cross, we feel remorse, we feel repent. But there's one thing we fail to realize, and I think this is a big cover-up of a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross. You see, artists and sculptors, even goldsmiths, silversmiths, right now we have Jesus on the cross, you know, we put in the earring and all that. Yeah. They always, always place a cloth around Jesus' waist. Right? They place a cloth around Jesus' waist for modesty's sake. Right? Because they want to present Jesus in a way dignified. Right? But you know what, my friends? Jesus died on the cross naked. He didn't have anything on him when he died on the cross. Can you imagine the humiliation that Jesus must have felt at that time? People hurt us with words and actions, but is there a bigger humiliation than being naked in front of many? But that is what Jesus had to endure for us. Jesus is the Son of God, and he could have allowed ego to take, he wouldn't have allowed, but he could have if he wanted, right? He could have done something. He could have called down fire, as I mentioned earlier, upon these soldiers and destroyed them. How dare they humiliate the Son of God, right? But you know, Jesus did not do that. Even in the state of nakedness, of humiliation, he did not hate. He did not think of vengeance. Instead, You know what he said? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Have you been hurt or betrayed? Or humiliated or suffered more than Jesus that we cannot forgive? Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, 22 says this. We know this very well. I do not say to you up to 7 times, but out to 77 times. 70 times 7. Right? That is to say, not for you to sit down and count, keep a record of how many times you're forgiven. Yeah. What he's saying is unlimited forgiveness. Forgiveness is hard. You need strength. That's why the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I tell you, my friends, if you find forgiveness hard, God will give you the strength to forgive. But will you make that decision to forgive those who have offended you, who have hurt you, who have humiliated you? Will you decide to forgive? Because you know what? Jesus will give you the strength to forgive. Will we make forgiveness our lifestyle? Not just one event, not just one time of ministry, not one occasion, but our lifestyle. Make it a habit. Unforgiveness hurts you, not the person you have not forgiven. The person is roaming around, okay, but unforgiveness hurts you. It puts you in a prison. I mentioned this in the morning this day also. Unforgiveness is like this. For example, if unforgiveness is this, you are angry with the sky. For some reason, you're angry with the sky. And you're lying down flat on your back. You're looking at the sky and you're angry at the sky. And because you're angry, you decided to spit at the sky, lying on your back. What do you think will happen? And that is what unforgiveness is. We think that by not forgiving, we are teaching the other person a lesson. We are giving it to them. But actually, no. You are punishing yourself by holding back forgiveness. It's like spitting at your own face, lying on your back. I want to finish with this quote by Louis Midas, right? To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. You see, when you forgive, you are setting yourself free. Trust me, from the experience that I shared with you, when you forgive, you are setting yourself free, and that is what God wants. Shall we close our eyes, look to the Lord in prayer? Let us be imitators. Will we decide to be imitators of God by forgiving? First, we must believe and be convinced that Jesus has forgiven us. He has forgiven us unconditionally. He forgave us even before we asked Him for forgiveness. And my friends, at this time, would you extend that same forgiveness, the same forgiveness that you have received, would you extend that to your enemies, for those who have hurt you, for those you struggle to forgive, or maybe even before this, refuse to forgive? Will you forgive those who need to be forgiven by you? Whether they apologize to you, whether they realize what they have done, will you still forgive them unconditionally without strings attached? I want to give you a minute or so now at this time to even remember those who you need to forgive but you're struggling to forgive. Will you name them before the Lord and lay them at Christ's feet and say, Lord, give me the strength even right now to forgive this person who has hurt me so badly, who has humiliated me, who has embarrassed me. This person who is not deserving of my forgiveness. But Lord, will you give me the strength even right now to forgive that person? And ask that God will set you free from this prison of unforgiveness. Will you take a minute or so? Let us boldly come before the throne of grace and say, Lord, I want to settle this. Some of us are struggling. Say, Lord, I cannot forgive. But will we come before Him and say, Lord, help me. Help me to forgive. Give me the strength to forgive, O Lord. Father, we thank You that You are a merciful God, full of grace, full of compassion, full of unconditional love, even for those who do not love You, Lord. Father, You extended unconditional love to us, and You have also extended unconditional forgiveness to us, Father God. And Father, we are so thankful that You have forgiven us of our sins, even before we came to You. Even before we knew that we had sinned against You, Lord, Jesus, You forgave us. But Father, we come before You even now, trusting in You, Father God. But Father, we want to lay before You those whom we cannot forgive, we are struggling to forgive, those whom we think are not deserving to receive our forgiveness. Father, we lay them at Your feet. Father, we ask for Your blessings over them, Father God, as we release forgiveness. Lord, strengthen our hearts even right now to forgive them unconditionally. Set us free, O God, from this prison of unforgiveness. Help us, Father God, even right now to extend forgiveness. Free us, O God, from our self-imprisonment. We forgive, O God. We forgive. My dear brothers and sisters, will you say, even as you're praying, say, Lord, I forgive. Would you boldly say, Lord, I forgive this person. I forgive, O Lord. Thank you, Father God. And all this we pray in Jesus Christ's most wonderful and precious name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God.